Hear God's word from Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. As Moses is sharing his final words before his people go into the promised land. Look at what I've done for you today. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. And I command you today, love God, your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments, regulations, and rules so that you will live, really live, live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land you are about to enter and possess. But I warn you, if you have a change of heart and refuse to listen obediently and willfully go off to serve and worship other gods, you will most certainly die. You won't last long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your children will live and love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Oh, yes, he is life itself, a long life settled on the soil that God, your God, promised to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May God give us understanding of his holy word, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. This was nothing new. Moses and the people, they had gone through the desert, they had gone through difficult times, difficult days, being forced to see God respond over and over again, waiting for their daily bread, waiting, waiting, and seeing, seeing. God never failed them. He showed them over and over and over. And I can't read this without thinking of a very pivotal time in my own growth many, many years ago when I went through a challenging time hiding away from a former abusive husband. Everything stripped from me. And one of the things, especially in our culture, that was very hard was not having a vehicle. What do you do? Well, you walk a lot, but you can't always get where you need to be. So at one point, as I was starting my seminary studies and also as I was beginning as coordinator for an extension of Fuller Seminary out in California, the pastor there called me up and he said, "You really need a car and we're going to help you out." So he took me down, and I was just blown away. I mean, God is good, but this was just over the top. It just was impossible. And even, not only that, but I actually had a choice between about five different vehicles. And so I picked out my car, and I was journaling every day to God, writing out my thoughts, my feelings, much like the Psalms. Often I'd start out with worries, but would have a sense of peace by the end. And this particular day, it was just overflowing gratitude, just disbelief that I would be so blessed with this gift. 2 weeks later, I got a call, and I had to go down to see this pastor in his office, and he sat me down and he said, "We have to say a prayer because in 15 minutes, you and I have to go down to the bank and co-sign on a loan that neither of us can afford." And I'm going, "What?" Turns out that the church and Fuller Seminary had made the decision that they could, you know, he couldn't be raising funds for me to buy this car. It just wasn't acceptable. Well, I'm afraid that my letter to God that night was a little angry. I didn't ask for this stinking car. Now what am I going to do? I'm still getting food stamps. I'm working as hard as I can. I've got my two little kids. What am I going to do? I can't afford this. Ah, yes, I was upset. I mean, this was a choice that was made for me even. It wasn't something where I even had a lot of control. So we signed off, and then the most amazing thing started happening. Every single month for 24 months, somehow that payment was made. I have no idea how. Not only that, but there was enough left over to pay for all the car insurance, and some months even enough extra to pay for my gas. 24 times. Every month I had to wait, and every single month I saw God's faithfulness. It was shocking. And it's something that I think back on every single time when I'm faced with a difficult situation where I feel helpless. And I realize that God is always listening. And I realize, too, that if God had just simply allowed me to get a car, I would have said, "Thank you, God, see ya," off, right? Nice thing, but, you know, quickly forgotten. But having to wait every single month, and also coming to realize that God was not only working in my life and my faith in that situation, but think of the countless others that he was working in as well. That I might not have known, I don't need to know, but I do know that he was working in others, because he is continually working on this tapestry. It's like the embroidery that we see. Yes, those of us who enjoy needlework and other things, you see this beautiful image on the front, and you look on the back and you see this big mess, right? And if all you see while you're living is the messy part, you can miss out on seeing the beautiful thing that God is forming. My friends, often when we think about rules, as it's talking about, there's rather stern language in the passage today, but as we're thinking about this rule thing, we can become very stubborn. And particularly within this culture, we think of ourselves as being a Christian culture, but when we start thinking about the me, my way, my rights, what I want, that's not exactly Christian. We look at Jesus, we look at the disciples, and they were forming community. They were working together and caring for each other. They were seeing that needs were met together. And the rules were there, not in an effort to restrict them and what they were doing, but to give them a roadmap, to help them to know that as they were making their choices, they could be assured that they were making good choices. And we all need that. But we have to understand God's not putting all these things in place so that we don't live a full life, but rather so that we shall live a full life. These choices that we have, they have to be good ones, or we pay consequences. Now, I think I can probably safely say that every single one of us in this room has made a choice or two that we probably regret. Yes? We've all, good intentions, done things and then later had to pay the consequences and realize, you know, that probably wasn't such a smart choice after all. Right? And that's what God is trying to help us to avoid. If we know up front the things that are going to make us joyful, the things that are going to make us satisfied in life, the things that are going to help us to live a full life, then we can make the right choices as we're going along. But there's another element in this too. Our motives have to be right. Going back to that time in California when God was shaping me before my ministry, one of the big things he did, and I may have shared this with you before, was there was a woman that I found extremely difficult. There was just something, we just didn't have a connection, and I really felt uncomfortable with her all the time. But oddly enough, God brought us together for a very important reason. She was there to teach me that motives matter. So it's not just a matter of following the rules and being able to check those off and feel good about ourselves. Mm-mm, that's not it at all. It's about doing it for the right reasons. And so she would hold me accountable. And every time as I was making my choices, she would be asking me, have you thought about why you want to go that route? Have you thought about why you would make that choice? And she kept hammering home, your motives have to be clean, Joycey. You have to be doing it for the right reasons, or you're not doing it right. Well, this is part of what Moses was trying to communicate to them. One, that they had choices, but they had to make the right choices, or there would be consequences. And that they had to be doing it for the right reason. And what shapes that reason is God. What we do has to be consistent with God's love, His love for us and our love for Him. So as we're living out our lives, everything we do, we need to be looking at it and saying, is this truly a reflection of God's love? As I'm doing this, as I'm making this choice, is it consistent with the love that God has shown for me and the love He wants me to show to others? And if it's not, then we need to rethink it. We need to consider what it is we're doing, but also why. In a couple of days, we're going to be celebrating Valentine's Day. In fact, as you know, so many of us wearing red today, going to our brunch, we're starting the celebration already. All about love, yes? I hope so. I just know that there are an awful lot of things that are done more in love of self than love of God. And as long as we're only looking at our own needs, our own desires, what's good for us, then sadly, we will never, ever begin to tap into what love is really all about. All of us, we're born wanting love, desiring love. Isn't that important? We see that even in our leaders, the need to be loved. What we don't always realize is the way to feel love is to give it. And the more that we give it away, the more we are abundantly showered with it. If you want to feel loved, love others as God loves us. My friends, we are so blessed. Even in those times we may not feel blessed because we have someone who never gives up on us, who loves us with wild abandon, and who allows us to be partners in sharing that love. So let's make the right choices. Choices that reflect God's love, and choices that pass it on. Let us pray. Almighty God, You have blessed us in so many ways, but help us remember that we love because You first loved us. Help us to remember what love is really all about. Help us to stay focused on You, to live for You. Help us to remember that You show us love as a new way of being. Let us live out of that abundance, out of that inner peace, and not out of neediness or fear or insecurity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.